I believe in God who is patient. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we will again refer to the Westminster Confession of Faith as we consider God's patience, since our confession, the Belgic Confession of Faith, is a shorter confession and does not focus on God's patience. Well, we all know what impatience is, every one of us. Consider an illustration from a pastor's grandchild and his daughter, or actually his son-in-law. The father told the girl, "I really want to teach you patience." And the girl's response, "Yes, Dad, we'll get to it." Most of us are impatient, especially with those who are not our friends. We tend to be a little bit more patient with friends. But we're impatient on the road. And probably some of you had to deal with this today coming to church, and a little bit of snow sometimes on the road, and you could feel the hair on your head turning gray. Sometimes we're impatient when our spouses are late. And I'm not picking on women here, it goes the other way as well. Or you go on that checkout line, especially about this time of the year, and people can't decide what they're going to buy, especially in the grocery store. You ever want to pull out your credit card and say, "Look, let me pay for that and get it done," because it's so difficult to deal with someone in front of you? Why are we so impatient? Well, the root of impatience is usually selfishness. We want the world to go around us, and we don't care about the needs of other people. But thank God he is not that way. And you will hear from God about how he is patient and how he helps us to be patient. Our headings are three: the doctrine of God's patience explained, the doctrine of God's patience illustrated, and then the doctrine of God's patience applied. And our goals are that seeing how patient God is with you, that you will then love him for it, that you will then worship him for it, and that you will then show his patience so the world might be drawn to him. Westminster Confession of Faith, Chapter 2, paragraph 1 says, and let's read this together: "But there is only one living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body parts or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his own immutable and most righteous will, for his own glory, most loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and withal most just and terrible in his judgments, hating all sin, and who will by no means clear the guilty." The doctrine of God's patience explained: God is the most patient person who has ever existed and who will ever exist. There are some people who are patient, and you can admire them. I always admired my father's ability to be patient. But none of those people comes close to having the patience that God has. He epitomizes long-suffering, which is another word for patience. Look at how the psalmist describes God's patience in Psalm 86, verse 15. Together: "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth." You know, the psalmist could say, "God, you're rich. God, you make us all healthy. But look at what he focused on, the bigger and the more important things. God keeping you healthy and giving you money is nothing. That's the smallest part. And there are only small minds that drive people into health and wealth. You want to focus on the bigger things first, like God's patience. Now, how is God long-suffering or patient? First of all, God is long-suffering in your salvation. In your salvation. First thing. Let's read 2 Peter 3, verse 9 together. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How patient God is to us. Think of those who have taken years, as we've witnessed today, of God working in Isabel's life. But think of other people. And maybe you are thinking of people you have been praying for many years. Oh, it's a long process for many. And God is patient. He started to be patient with you when you were his enemies. And you continually rejected him, and he continually came after you. He was patient because he desired to make you into his children. And he persevered when you heard the gospel from preacher after preacher. And he persevered when you saw the gospel in other people's lives and you just sort of ignored it. He sent his Holy Spirit to work through that word that you heard, to convict you of your sin and make you see how much you need salvation. But he exercised patience because he chose you. You see, being elect doesn't mean that immediately you hear the gospel, you will respond. But election does mean that God will be patient with you. So don't say, well, they'll never come to faith, therefore give up. There must not be the elect. You don't know that. God works slowly in people's salvation. But it's not just in salvation that God shows his patience. God shows his salvation in your sanctification. And this is his promise to all his children. The one who began a good work will complete it. Remember the ones that he chose? He called. He justified. And he was sanctifying them, as the Apostle Paul wrote. And then one day he will glorify them. Yeah, and even God's children are sometimes in rebellion against them. Sometimes they fall away for a long time. And God is the one who digs around the roots of the tree that is in his vineyard that is not bearing fruit. Remember, Jesus used this illustration for us in Luke chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. Let's read those verses together. Let's begin. But he answered and said to him, Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down. What was the Lord's concern here? Jesus saying to his father, look, I will work. I will dig around the roots. I'll put some fertilizer there. And what was that fertilizer? The gospel, the cross. And he's going to dig around the roots and continue to feed that plant so it will produce fruit. That's what God does. That's his patience. And he doesn't say, well, give it a few days. Give it a year. Give it some time to grow. That's patience. What is even more remarkable is that God is patient even when he doesn't need to be patient. He doesn't need you. You're lovely on all, and God loves you, but he doesn't need you. You know, for most of us, when we're patient, we realize that there's some benefit to us. Life will be happier when a wife is patient with a husband. So she waits until he has come home and he's eaten and he's relaxed, and then she talks about all the problems of the children. Or a husband might be patient with his wife because he knows you're not patient, you're probably not going to get what you were expecting for dinner. If some wives are petty. But you want to be patient because you want to get something back. When God is patient with us, it's because when God is patient with us, it's remarkably loving because he doesn't need anything from you. When you're patient with your boss, because you probably don't want to get fired. When you're patient on the road, because you don't want to get charged. You don't want to go off on the slippery roads. But God is patient with us purely because of his love. Number three, God's patience does not contradict his justice. God's patience does not contradict his justice. You know, some people have one view of God, that he's all about love and patience. But God is much more. He's also a God of justice. In other words, don't think that because God is patient that he wouldn't carry out his justice. This common error. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 18 now. Let's read together. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations. You talk about justice. He's saying, I not only punish you, but your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will suffer because of your sin. So yes, he is patient. But his patience is tied to his justice. But here's the beautiful part. And if you remember nothing else about the sermon, remember this. The Father carried out his justice on Jesus Christ on the cross. That's why he can be patient with you, because of the work of Jesus Christ. He was fully satisfied when Jesus took your punishment. So how does God show patience today or long-suffering? How does God show it today? You are one of the main ways that God shows patience. You are the instruments of God's patience. Look at what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, pastor in Ephesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Together, however, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. People, including your children, will see your patience and learn about God's love. You will talk a little bit in terms of application, but people will see your patience, that God is working in you, and they will love God. There's not this drop of patience that falls from the sky, but you show patience. Let's illustrate this then for a second point, the doctrine of God's patience illustrated. First of all, God illustrated his patience for all mankind when he waited for more than 100 years for people to repent and return to his service. We know this in the life of Noah, who was called to undertake the task of preaching. And it was a hard task. He did it for 120 years and not one person repented. I always think about this. I said, what happened after 65 years of preaching? And nobody repented. You think he was saying, what about 90? What about 105 years after preaching and there's not a single sinner who repented? Would you keep preaching? Well, at least 8 people were saved. 8 people heard the gospel. 8 people believed. and they were saved. Well, we're not sure about Ham, but the others surely were. That's patience. Incredible patience. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 spoke about Noah together, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. That's a hard one. Well, thank God that we've had a lot more than eight souls saved here. But imagine doing for 120 years. Second, God illustrated his patience as he waited for David to repent for a whole year. See, patience is not, and this is what you should remember about God's patience, it's not just a state of mind by which we resign ourselves to wait, like God is saying, well, there's nothing I can do now. You see, patience with David was accompanied with something else. God was fighting with him, literally wrestling with David until he repented of his adultery with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah. God never left him alone. God went after his bones. You speak of having pain on the inside in your very bones. When you say your bones ache, well, God was working on David in the very core of his being. Look at Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5 now. Together, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. He was there struggling. He couldn't. Physically, he was a mess. Emotionally, he was a mess. Spiritually, he was a mess. And the Lord worked a lot of that in him. He said his heart was, he was having palpitations of the heart until he repented. So God's patience was not isolated. It's not blind waiting. It's being involved, trying to get David to respond. Third, God illustrated his patience when he pleaded with Judah to repent so they would not be sent into Babylonian captivity. And among those prophets, as we've been studying, would be Zephaniah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, but many others as well. Look at how the prophet Nehemiah spoke of this in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 30. Together, yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets. Yet they would not listen. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. God pleaded and pleaded, is what Nehemiah said. Remember, Nehemiah was after that captivity, and he recounted to say, don't forget what happened in the past. God sent all of these prophets and said, repent, repent, repent. Look what happened to the northern 10.5 tribes, how they were taken away captive. Look how I protected you from the Assyrians who took those tribes captive. But what are you going to do now? What are you going to do? Are you going to live that way again? That's the patience of God for year after year. The northern tribes were taken captive in 725 BC. And we're going to look at a passage in Isaiah shortly. Isaiah 7, dealing with King Ahaz. And he was a little bit before. And God was already warning Ahaz, who was the king of the southern tribes, Judah, saying, look, what's going to happen to the northern tribes? Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. So for 125 years, God was pleading, get your life right, get your life right. Then there's a fourth illustration. Coming into the New Testament now, Jesus illustrated his patience with the Jews when he finally cried over Jerusalem. The Jews had killed the prophets from Abel to Zechariah, For thousands of years, God had pleaded with them until he had had enough. Before Jesus headed to the cross, we read in Luke chapter 13, verse 34, together, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. Abel to Zechariah, from the beginning of the world to the last of the Old Testament. And it will not change. That's patience, though. That's real patience. So how do we apply this then in our third point? The doctrine of God's patience applied. Well, God is patient with you in your salvation and your sanctification. So what's your response? You must love him like no other and worship him like no other. You must love him and worship him, the one who has so much patience with you. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, together, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? It's God's patience that leads to your repentance. He did more for you than any wife could or would. He did more for you than your mother did. And you think of the mothers who have to deal with the patience of a child being awake all night. And then you look over and you hear your husband snoring up a storm and you are there with a sick baby. That's patience. That's patience. And that's nothing compared to the patience God has with you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, together. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to you, has written to you. So he's saying, Paul talks about this as well. I'm telling you what he has said. The long-suffering of God results in your salvation. Therefore, you worship the one who saved you, who redeemed your life from destruction. And when you think how often you commit sins against God and how he continues to forgive you every day, worship him with increasing passion. The more you see how bad you are, the more you will want to worship God, because you will know that all those sins were put upon our Savior. Second, be patient with others as your Heavenly Father is patient with you. Look at Romans 15:5 now together. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul is praying and saying, look, this is what I want. I want you to be patient like God is patient with you. That's his benediction. He's coming to the end of his letter to the Romans. So be patient with your children when they don't understand something you're explaining. And be patient when you're disciplining them. Take your time even in discipline to talk to them first. Explain why you're disciplining them. Then the discipline can be more effective. You don't discipline because of anger, but because of love. So you do it patiently. Be patient with your spouse. So you forget something you asked him to do. What you need to do then is take a look in the mirror and see how patient God is with you. And then look at the cross of Jesus had to take the punishment for your sins, your impatience. And then show that patience to your spouse. Be patient with your elders and pastors. We struggle with our own sins. with our family responsibilities. And sometimes we don't do the job as we ought to. I don't preach like I should. Be patient. We need God's help. We need your help. And then you translate that to outside. Be patient when you drive on the road, when someone's blocking you and driving slowly in the left lane. And you think, why are you doing this? Exercise patience. It may be that person might be doing that for some reason. Or someone's driving too slowly and you're saying, come on, let's go. Or someone's driving too fast and you see them weaving in out of traffic and you say, that's dangerous. Yeah, maybe. But they may also be running to the hospital for some emergency. You don't always know. Just be patient as God is with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 says, together, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Even people who are not your friends, even people you don't like, be patient. Don't be that servant that, remember that Jesus told the parable of the servant who was helped by his master and forgiven a great debt, and then he found out somebody who owed him a little bit, and he says, oh, you're going to prison for not paying the little debt you owe me. God is saying, remember the patience I've shown to you. That's the patience you show to others. Number three, remember that having patience is not a suggestion. And it's not an insignificant thing either. In fact, patience, having patience is a command from God. Here's the problem. Some people use the excuse, well, you know, I don't have any patience. I couldn't control what I said because, you know, I don't have any patience. As an excuse. Here's the thing to remember. You have a God who's overflowing with patience. And he's willing to give patience to you because you're his child. So using that excuse is not going to fly with God. And you shouldn't be using that excuse today. A few verses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Together. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. That's like clothes for you. God provides these things. These are gifts of the Spirit. And who would God give his gifts to but his own children? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, together. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. You know what pursue is? This word is to go and capture. It's the same word that we use for persecute. You want to grab hold and punish someone? That's the same thing here. You're grabbing. You need to grab hold of this gift that God offers to you. You have to remember, real patience is not natural. You have to go to the God who will give you this gift that is a supernatural gift. So you have to ask God for patience and then practice it. The more you practice patience, the more you'll be able to use it. Remember, as a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, together. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. There are more, of course, but you see the emphasis on this as a fruit of the Spirit. And children, even the young must learn patience. And where does this patience start? You know, the children, when it's time they have their dinner, and when we need dessert, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream. You learn patience by waiting for dessert. Or when can we open the presents, open the presents, open the presents? Well, you learn to wait. That's part of the training, how you learn to be patient in big things. It's when you learn to be patient with the small things. And maybe the a little bit older people, one of the most ridiculous things you see these days is when the Wi-Fi goes down. You want to see people panic. Or they send a text to somebody and 30 seconds pass and they haven't responded. I wonder if they're okay. Learn to wait. And maybe you will be teaching somebody else something if you don't respond within 30 seconds of them asking you a question. It's not that important. Learn to wait. Four, be patient and don't stop praying. Along with the patience comes prayer. You pray for those who are lost. Yeah, maybe it's a long time. Keep praying. Many of you have relatives and friends like many of us who are non-believers. Don't stop praying. Then pray for those who have strayed from the faith. Maybe they've gone a long time, but God will bring them back at the right time. Don't stop praying. Be patient in prayer. Maybe there's someone who's not growing as fast as you think they should. Don't stop praying. Look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17 together. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. That's patience. God is patient, and so should you be. And finally, number five, be patient with God and accept what comes from His hand. Good things or painful things. James 5:7 says together, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rains. That's patience. Learn from the farmer. Be patient in your Christian walk. Romans chapter 2, verse 7 together. God will give eternal life to those who are, by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Patient continuance. Don't give up. Don't say the Christian life is hard or not, I'm a Christian, I have troubles. Patient continuance. And finally, James 1:4 says together, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It is essential that you have patience if you're going to complete the Christian life. Let's conclude. God is patient with His children in their salvation and in their sanctification. And His children need His patience. They need it very much. God's patience then must also be reflected in the lives of believers. Doing this will bring honor and glory to God and also bring rewards in heaven. The patience you show are credited to your account. And that's where the real retirement plan should be. And that's where Premier Ford or Prime Minister Trudeau cannot tax. That's where you need to put the investment. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, think how you fought God for many years before you surrendered to Him and accepted Christ as your Savior. That was God's patience with you. Think how you fight against God now as a Christian, wanting sometimes to get your own way and to live your own way. And think how God forgives your rebellion against Him. And all of God's patience comes to you. Why? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners. If there was no cross, there'd be no patience. Then think how you must show God's patience with the world. Think of the lost, their condition. Think how badly the world needs the gospel, though they wouldn't admit that they need the gospel. Don't give up preaching to them. Don't give up praying for them. And think how much you need to show your patience to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your parents, to your boss, to your professors, to your pastors. Think of the straying ones, the struggling ones among your family and friends. Preach and pray, preach and pray. That's the way patience will come. And then you can bring blessing and glory to God, and you can store up those treasures in heaven. And finally, if you're not a Christian, God will not be patient forever. Remember, we said God's patience does not take away his justice. The time will come when God will say, enough. It is time for you to go to hell. So I urge you to get your life right with God, and I urge you to do it today. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words that we could reflect on as we see how patient you are with us in calling us to yourself, in sanctifying us. And now, Father, may we show your patience to the world, taking the gospel to them by book and by our life. And we must pray for them, patiently, never giving up. For this is the means by which they can get eternal life. Lord, help us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.